أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يفعل ما يشاء ولا يفعل ما يشاء غيره. الحمد لله كما يحب الله أن يحمد. الحمد لله كما هو أهله. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفس الجانية بتقوى الله خالق الدنيا الفانية، فاتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. I begin the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. All praise belongs to Allah. All credit belongs to Him for all the beauty and perfection in this universe. I advise myself, first of all, and all of the mu'mineen and the mu'minat, on this day of Friday, on this day of remembering Allah, that the most important duty that we have during the short time that we've been gifted with the opportunity to live in this world is to know Allah and to act according to the instructions He's given us, and as a result, develop taqwa of Allah. We are in the month of Muharram. The tragedy of Karbala has many deep lessons of inspiration for all of us. For every human being, whether they're Muslim or not Muslim, whether they're followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam or still not there yet, there is something in the message of Karbala that they can take and be inspired from. One of those lessons that we can examine is the relationship that we ought to have with the material world around us. I want to go through a few stories that we have from Karbala and inshallah take some lessons from them. One of them is regarding this individual named Umar ibn Sa'ad la'anatullahi alayh, who was somebody who should have known better. He was somebody who had ma'rifah, he had awareness. He knew the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he knew the position of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But there was a promise that had been made to him, which was that if he goes ahead and he's successful in accomplishing that task with which he was tasked, then he would be given the governorship of Ray. In one conversation that's reported between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Umar ibn Sa'd, we see the nature of the way this man, of this individual, how he thinks. Imam alayhi salam addresses him saying, وَيْلَكَ يَا ابْنَ سَعَدْ Woe be to you. أَمَا تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْكَ إِلَيْهِ مَعَادُكَ Don't you have any taqwa of Allah? Don't you know that there's going to come a time that you're going to return to him? What is your answer going to be to him at that point? أَتُقَاتِلُنِي وَأَنَا بْنُ مَنْ عَلِمْتَ Are you going to fight me while I am the son of the one that you know? ذَرْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ Leave those people aside. وَكُنْ مَعِي And be with me. فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ لَكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى This is what's going to take you to Allah. Taking the path of the Imam. Taking and following his instructions. Umar ibn Sa'd says that أَخَافُ أَن يُهْدَمَ دَارِي I am scared that my house is going to be destroyed. The Imam alayhi salam responds to that, I'm going to rebuild it for you. I am going to rebuild it for you. What does he mean by that? You know how the wife of Fir'aun, right, when she's about to be martyred according to the Quran, she says, رَبِّبْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Perhaps this is referring to Imam Hussain is promising something in the hereafter for him, that he himself is going to, it's a sign of his shafa'ah, a sign of his intercession. He responds saying, أَخَافُ أَن تُؤَخَذَ ضِيْعَتِي or ضَيْعَتِي. I am scared that they're going to take away all my possessions. The Imam ﷺ promises him, I'm going to give you something even better than that. He says, no, I have family, I'm scared about them, they're going to be hurt. At that point, the Imam ﷺ remains silent. And he doesn't respond to him anymore. He ignores him, turns away from him, he turns his face away from him. And he tells him, ذَبَحَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَى فِرَاشِكَ عَاجِلًا. As a result of what you've done, you think that you're okay, you think that this is going to be something that you reach and you're going to attain. Actually, you're in compensation of that, you're going to be punished, not only here in the hereafter, but here in this world as well. You'll be slaughtered while you're lying in your bed soon. And that's exactly what happened. What this tells us, one of the lessons that we can get from this is that the attachment to the dunya, where the dunya which is haram, can be something which makes somebody stand against the imam of the time. You see, Karbala is a scene in which we see people being tested to their utmost. Sometimes it's easy to sit back and make claims and say that, yeah, when the imam of my time comes, then I'll be there ready to sacrifice everything. But as Imam Hussain alayhi salam himself says, he says that annasu abidu dunya, people are the slaves of the dunya. Typically, not everyone, typically, inshallah, all of us are exempted from this. Typically, annasu abidu dunya, they say that they worship God, they say that they have tawheed, but the reality is that they are the abd of the dunya. Idha muhisu bil bala', when they are tried, when they are tested, when there's a bit of a pressure that's put on them, قَلَّتِ الدَّيَّانُ, that's when those who really hold fast to the religion, where that religion has actually entered their hearts, not just that they have made themselves and attributed to them to the deen, that's when they become very few and far in number. That's one level of attachment to the dunya we see in Umar ibn Sa'd, and we see what his fate is. There's another example we have in that of Ubaydullah ibn al-Hur al-Ju'fi. Ubaydullah was somebody who was not at all a follower of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was somebody who had supported Muawiyah. He had heard what Imam Hussein alayhi salam was doing. He had been in Kufa as well too. And he happened to be journeying and he pitched tents in the same place that Imam Hussein eventually ended up. This was on the way to Kufa. He was actually running away from Kufa because he was concerned that in Kufa he was anticipating that there will be some trouble and turmoil. So he said, let me bail out of here before anything happens to me. When Imam Hussain enters this particular landing point, he sees that there's a tent there with a spear in front of it. And at that time, this was a sign of somebody saying that he is a very brave person, a warrior. This is a warrior's tent. Imam Hussain inquires as to who is it that's in this tent right here, and they tell him that it's Ubaydullah ibn al-Hur al-Ju'fi. Imam Hussain alayhi salam sends two of his people to go to him, and they greet him and they say that Imam Hussain alayhi salam is inviting you to join him. He tells them, actually, I just came running out of Kufa because I didn't want to be involved in whatever is going to take place. I wanted to just escape the whole situation. He had some goodness in him, in the sense that he said that I don't want to be guilty for spilling the blood of Imam Hussein. He anticipates what's going to happen. So I'm just going to leave the situation altogether. And I don't want to be involved with this at all. Now, at this point, those two messengers come back. They give Imam Hussein Islam the answer. What's amazing, this is something that we don't see. This is unprecedented in the history of Karbala. We see that Imam Hussein himself, along with some of his companions, along with his children, make their way to the tent of Ubaydullah ibn al-Hur al-Ju'fi. What is it? Why is it that he took his children? Why is this the move that the Imam al-Islam makes? Perhaps he wants to show him the compassion that the Imam has for him. He says that, this is from Ubaydullah himself, he says that, I was sitting in my tent and I see that this man comes to me, he's Imam Hussein al-Islam, and he's with his children around him. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ قَطْ أَحْسَنَ مِنَ الْحُسَيْنِ. وَلَا أَمْلَأَ لِلْعَيْنِ meaning that I've never seen something such a beautiful scene before, the way it filled my eyes. I was gazing upon this and I was filled with the beauty of what I saw, the compassion and tenderness of the Imam ﷺ and how he was there with his children as well too. Imam Hussein ﷺ greets him and he tells him the following, إِنَّ عَلَيْكَ ذُنُوبًا كَثِيرًا you have many sins. فَحَلَّكَ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ تُمْحَى بِهَا ذُنُوبُكَ why don't you come and repent and in that way your sins will be forgiven. This is a question that the Imam ﷺ is posing to him right then, but is a question that applies to each one of us right here and now, because the door of tawbah is always open to us until the last moments of our life. What that means is not that we should wait until those last moments come. It means that we have to take opportunities like this. This time of remembering and mourning is not just commemorating what happened there, although that's the source of it, that's the basis. But it's also about mourning over ourselves and our situation as well too. He says, this Abdullah Ubaydullah ibn Hurdufi says that, no, I'm sorry, I can't join you. I'm not ready to do that. However, I have this horse right here. And he starts to describe how this horse was a famous horse. It had been a true mount for him in different battles that he had participated in. Look at the response of the Imam al-Islam. He says, "La hajata lana fika wa la fi farasik." He says, at this point, we don't have any need of you or your horse either. That's not what he was after. He wasn't after just a little bit of charity. He was after the entire being. He wanted the full, solid commitment from Ubaydullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. And then he tells him one thing. He says, "Then now that you haven't helped us, I have one advice for you. Go from here. And go as far as you can possibly from this place right here. Because if it's the case that there is somebody who hears our cry for help and they don't respond, then they can await a place for themselves in the fire of hell." Peace be salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. The third and last story I want to mention as part of this khutbah is that of Dhahhak ibn Abdullah al-Mashriqi. Now, we're seeing different stages and different levels of attachment to the dunya which is haram and that dunya which is a distraction from God and the Imam of the time. Abdullah wasn't as bad as Umar in terms of the open attachment that he had to the dunya. Nor was he at the same level of Ubaydullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. In fact, he was somebody who was actually praised by the Imam ﷺ during the Battle of Karbala and the Day of Ashura. Who was Dhahhak? Dhahhak was somebody who along the way, he happens to meet with the caravan of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein invites him to join him and he accepts. But he says that, "Imam, I have one condition. I'm going to accept but based on one condition." What is that condition? That if it's ever the situation that you have basically no one left on your side and it's clear that it's leading to martyrdom, at that point I want you to release me from the bay'ah, from the allegiance that I made to you. The Imam al-Islam agrees. He goes with the Imam to Karbala. He's there from the second all the way till the day of Ashura. He participates in the fighting. He participates in the Salatul Dhuhr as well too. And as the days goes along, one by one, the companions give up their lives and are martyred one after the other. At this point, Dhahhak realizes that the situation is dire. He was clever. He had hidden his horse. He had hidden his horse away so that if he needed to escape, it would be there for him. At this point, he goes to the Imam alayhi salam. He says that, "Do you remember that one condition that I had made for you, with you?" Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes." He says that, "If you want to go, you can go. But how are you going to leave?" He says that, "Well, I hid my horse in one of the tents." So Imam says, "Go." So the Dhahhak mounts on the horse and he is able to escape from the enemy. They chase him, but eventually he is able to get away. And he becomes one of the rawiya, the narrators of the tragedy of Karbala. Because he was somebody who was there, he was on the side, and he narrates what takes place. Some people sometimes wonder, how do we know what took place? Well, he's one of the narrators of what took place. He did a service to us by being a narrator. He did a service to the Imam al-Islam by being with him for part of the time. But The issue was his conditional submission is conditional devotion. Allah tells us in the Quran that there are people who worship Allah, but they do so conditionally. When difficulties come up, when it comes to something where, you know, my nafs doesn't like this part of the deen, I'll take the rest of it, I'll pay the charity, I'll say the salat, but this one thing right here, I'm not going to be able to accept. That's not the true servant that Allah is looking for. The Haqq could have been one of those who is called upon every time mu'mineen say salam to the shuhada of Karbala. We should look and see how many times that happened. How many millions and millions of people go to ziyarah, and as they're addressing Imam Hussein Islam with salam, immediately afterwards they're addressing the son of Imam Hussein and they're addressing the ashab of Imam Hussein. He could have been one of those people. He could have been there till the end. He could have had Imam Hussein Islam there with him, praying for him as he's about to leave this world. But he settled for something else. We pray to Allah to help us understand what is the relationship we should have with the dunya, the correct relationship, and that we may be among those who are the companions of the Imam of our time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الأول قبل الإنشاء والإحياء والآخر بعد فناء الأشياء الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا دائما أبدا والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. In the second khutbah, it is customary to remind ourselves of the importance of having taqwa of Allah, and also to reflect upon the situation of Muslims and the Ummah as a whole. And one thing that I would just like to mention, one point, which is that when we come to Karbala and when it comes to the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we should make sure that we understand the fundamental nature and the fundamental points that are part of this message. What I mean by this is that sometimes people come to this message and they say that, okay, what Imam Hussein stands for is, for example, what Gandhi understood from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, or such and such person, or this Charles Dickens, or X, or Y, or Z. Now, these different individuals, they were inspired by the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in some way or the other, and we appreciate that. That's something which is good. However, at the end of the day, these individuals did not accept the full message of Imam Hussein, because if they had, then they would have become followers of Imam Hussein in a full sense also. When it comes to the message of Imam Hussein Islam, we have to understand that this is a message at which one of the core messages that we have to get from this is that of standing against the oppressor. Yes, we have love. Yes, we have compassion. Yes, we have mercy. Yes, we have care for humanity and all those other ideals and values which are part of Islam that can be seen in Karbala and the message of Imam Hussein Islam as well. But there is one fundamental message, which is that Imam Hussein was not willing to accept that there would be a tyrant leader in the land, and he stood up against him. And there's lessons for us in that. When we look at the world today, we see that there's a lot of oppression. And oppression is being perpetrated by individuals, by corporations, by governments, by institutions. And we have to be aware of that. And we have to be able to counter that with spreading justice and speaking the truth. Because after all, truth is something which is appealing to all of us and all of humanity as well too. And so is justice as well. In this season of mourning and season of Azadari, we should understand that there are people who are trying to commemorate these different occasions, but they're being oppressed in this world. Just if you check the news yesterday, they say that there was an attack in the shrine of Sayyida Zainab salamu alayhi alayha. 17 people were wounded, but alhamdulillah, the news report said that despite that taking place, that same night there was still the Azadari and the mourning of Imam Hussein still took place in the shrine of Sayyida Zainab salamu alayhi alayha. And also there was good news from there as well too. They say that this is from trustable reports saying that a number of the towns in that area have now been liberated from the invading forces of injustice and those people who wish to topple the government. So alhamdulillah, that was a victory for the movement of truth and freedom. There's still many difficulties that mu'mineen and Muslims and those who are being oppressed are facing around the world. On this day of Friday, a day where we're supposed to remember Allah and pray to Him, we have to remember them in our prayers, and we ask for their delivery with the coming of the Imam of our time. اللهم صل وسلم على النبي الأمي والكوكب الدري الرسول المسدد والمحمود الأحمد المصطفى الأمجد أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم على أئمة المؤمنين وهداة الخلق أجمعين. أمير المؤمنين الإمام علي بن أبي طالب. والحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. ثم علي بن الحسين زين العابدين ومحمد الباقر وجعفر الصادق وموسى الكاظم وعلي الرضا ومحمد الجواد وعلي الهادي والحسن العسكري. اللهم صل وسلم على ولي أمرك الإمام صاحب الزمان وشريك القرآن وإمام الإنس والجان وكعبة الإيمان المهدي. اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه واجعلنا من أنصاره وعوانه. اللهم اقضي حاجاتنا وشافي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وتقبل أعمالنا وثبت أقدامنا واغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها صغيرها وكبيرها ولسائر إخواننا الأحياء منهم والأموات. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم تواب كريم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.